What's up? What's up, everybody? The Smoking Word is brought to you by CasaTheRock.com. You already know you want to support the show. Go cop some merch. And if you're from Europe or anywhere outside America, CasaTheRock.eu is where you go. Support the show. We got mad stuff, snapbacks, caps, and all that. And shout out to my Patreon family, like always, holding me down. We have a lot of stuff we've been working on. So stay tuned. You've seen some videos getting dropped on Smoking Word TV. And we got a lot more. And Patreon knows what's up. I'm already dropping a lot of exclusive videos just for you guys. Again, thank you for holding me down and supporting the movement. Even when you think we're not moving, we're moving. I got some big things, some really cool stuff planned. So if you want to support us, patreon.com/thesmokingword. Listen, there's a couple of tiers from $2 up, exclusive footage and all that good stuff. Always a big shout out to my Patreon family. They give me that wiggle room to do all this extra stuff. So shout out to HendogR18, Jason C, Tom Martin, Amy Norman, and my brother Jay Fury of the one and only New Jersey's finest, Fury of Five. And as a matter of fact, shout out to Fury of Five. And I just saw that they have a show coming up in New Jersey that it's sold out. So shout out to everybody who gets to see Fury of Five. I think it's their first show back in a minute. I also want to shout out everybody who came out to these shows these last couple, this last week. Everybody who's been catching the last couple of Madball shows might have noticed. Your boy wasn't there. Everything is good. I just been taking care of some stuff in the home front. But so I kind of had to pick my battles a little bit. But it was good to see everybody. I was extra excited to see, obviously, my band members, but also to see, you know, all of H2O and my family in Powerhouse. Has been a minute. I actually been looking real forward to seeing Powerhouse and Toby and all the fellas, you know, in one room together. And but we had a blast, especially, listen, shout out to everybody who came out to the Jersey show, sold out show. Again, I don't know, you know, it was our first time doing this Hazen Street shit. It was a little rough for me, but we had a blast. We had fun, everybody. And listen, again, if you want to see exclusive rehearsal footage, we're going to have a mad footage up on Patreon right now, and it's getting dropped as we go. But I took a lot of footage. It was good to see Mackie and everybody. I haven't seen some of these people in years. It's crazy to say that, but the show was dope. And shout out to everybody who came out to Rhode Island, you know, to make it happen in Rhode Island. In Rhode Island, we played the better show, I think. You know, both shows were dope, but you know, we had one rehearsal, and I think we did all right for having one rehearsal. So shout out to all my band members, Hazen Street. Shout out to all of H2O. Shout out to my Madball family. You know the deal. Shout out to everybody who came out to these shows and supported. Shout out to everybody who copped that merch at the merch table. Listen, it feels good to be back. Keep a lookout this week. Black and Blue Bowl, make sure you go support that. And if you haven't heard, This Is Hardcore murked it with the bill. The Smoking Word podcast will be in the building that weekend. So everybody come through, say what's up. I'll be backstage going crazy. So shout out to Joe Hardcore, everybody at This Is Hardcore. Shout out to Black and Blue Productions for the Black and Blue Bowl. Listen, Hardcore's back this week. I figured, who else to get then this week? I figured, let's get that little weekend recap with my boy and one of Cali's finest, Walter Ryan. Let's set this shit off. Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, bro. What's
look
up?
Look at that. Forget what everybody says about you, you see?
Yep.
You know you're smart.
I'm old.
Nah, look at that. Yeah, let me tell you, I've been on a roll. The last couple guys got it right away. Let me tell you, it ain't an easy thing to just jump on and have sound and visuals.
I know, it's crazy.
First of all, I was going to say you look extra handsome for some reason.
I don't know what it could be.
I wonder what it could be. And the eyes, the shaved, the well-groomed attire, but the hat definitely fits good on that head.
Oh, yeah, I scored this. I beat up a little girl for this at our show.
Yeah, listen. No, but first of all, today we went a little gorilla for everybody out there hearing. If the audio is a little different, my compressor for my microphone's blue, but you know us, we gorillas, we said we ain't, I didn't want to let the opportunity pass of recapping the weekend while it was still fresh. And I was like, you know what? I already had everybody over there. So I was like, it's time to get, now let's get to the drummers. Let's get these drummer guys now. Hey. No, but I wanted to get a recap. And also I remember I was like, I literally, you know, I had Powerhouse. I had a bunch of guys on and I was like, you know what? They brought, you know, Walter. I was like, oh shit, let me grab Walter. Be good to fucking get him on also and fucking touch base about the weekend that literally just happened.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So it was like, first of all, did you play any shows since this show? You've played some shows already, right? And back home, right?
Yeah, our first two shows were like 3 months ago or something.
Yeah, those were the ones you did at the
Parkside.
Yeah, at Parkside and all that, right? Yeah. I saw that. Those were dope.
Those were really good, and it was so fun, and energy was there. There was all positivity, no negativity whatsoever, no fights, no beef, no nothing. Everybody had smart, happy faces on, you know. There was a lot of youngsters there, that people that didn't even, you know, because they were there for the other bands, and those other bands were just ripping too, by the way.
Yeah. No, there was a lot. I think Scowl played with you guys, right?
Yeah. Right? Scowl and Gulch, they were. Gulch,
yeah. I want to get Gulch. That's next. I get the crew from Gulch on, because I like this new wave with I like the energy they're coming with. I like sonically what they're coming with, and they're coming with the right attitude. Like, not even just the right attitude, but the right energy.
Yeah. Most
you
definitely.
Know, it ain't just like a Midwest, a meathead hate breed, guys. But shout out to my Midwest meathead hate breed guys. You know, they moonlight as madball guys too. I know, it's with love. But you know what I mean. It's like it's like refreshing.
Yeah, most definitely. It's very refreshing, and like seeing Beto's son rip the way he does on guitar. I thought that was incredible.
Oh, reaching out. Yeah, it's good. I love looking. I don't know why, and I don't care why, but I get really amped seeing the younger the band, the more I want to watch them, the more I root for them. Not because I got children part of it, but more like, you know, for a while it got lost. All right, when we started going to shows, the average age was between 15, from, you know, from like 15 to let's say 19-ish. Sure, a little young, a little old, but that was it. For a long time there, it only seemed like a brand new band was made out of kids in their 20s.
Yeah.
You know, when it, like that whole very young generation, that whole concept kind of, for some reason, got a little lost. This new generation is like, they're like more younger people. I don't know, I get amped when I see this shit.
My jaw was dropping when I was watching those kids rip it. I was like, wow, they're amazing. You're jumping around. The riffs were really good. They were heavy. They were tight. They were having a blast. They were jumping up and down. It was awesome to watch.
All right, take it like that from that. So, all right, let's take that situation, because you're a good person to look at this. That's the new generation. And look at you feel the energy, right? You guy who've been around, you know, long enough, not the oldest, but long enough, not the newest.
Yeah.
You ain't the newest model.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you ain't, no, you know, you, but you got enough history in your belt that you've been around long enough to see a lot of different waves of heavy music come out of Bay Area and all that shit. Now, okay, what, obviously, you started hearing it as a kid. What's the youngest age you're listening to heavy music? Now you're going to heavy music. What's your first taste of heavy music?
I mean, my uncle Butch gave me all the Zeppelin and Sabbath albums record vinyl that he had.
Jesus, that's hard, right off the grid.
And I was like 9.
Yeah.
And then around 10 years old, then I discovered Alice Cooper. And then it just kind of went from there. But at that time, I was listening to Motown and funk, because that's what my parents were into.
Yeah.
Motown and funk. So I love that shit. I still bump that shit now.
Yeah, yeah. And what about like shows? Like, how did that shit come to you? Like going to shows? Because that shit always bugs me out. All right. Some people have, you know, their first shows are like the arena shows, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to arena shows till I was signed to Roadrunner, because Life of Agony was playing and I was signed to them and they were on tour with Ozzy. I was blown away. I was like, but some people it's reverse, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people don't go to a live show till they're older, you know. Hardcore punk rock is one of the few scenes that you have, you go to live music from a little kid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so I didn't really go to a real show until I was like 17 or something.
Oh, right. It
was like from the time I was 14 or 15, I would go to literally someone's house and watch bands play.
Gotcha.
While their parents were away.
Yeah.
You know, we had house kegs parties. In the tub. Yeah, house parties. And just people just moshed off, you know, the couch and the, you know, the tables.
But I'll take that as a show. I'll take that as a show.
Yeah.
But that, it was like that. Yeah, yeah. Because, and you know why it's funny that you got that? Because that's a big, I mean, everybody did a taste of that, but the West Coast is known. A lot of history in the backyard, that party scene. If it was trash, punk rock, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like somebody's fucked up house and we're going to do shows there.
Yeah. I saw Exodus and like Testament and Metallica at shows in the Bay Area when I was like 15, 16.
Yeah.
And we would just hear about it for like being on the bus or skateboarding by and be like, yo, Exodus is playing out in Richmond or whatever. And I'm like, shit. You know? Yeah. It was dope.
That's cool. And do you remember seeing any of those bands the first time, or you already, you've heard, they were already probably local heroes, right?
Yeah, they were pretty, you know, when I was like 16, 17, I was going to those shows. So, you know, all I did was skate with a bunch of my boys or grab a bike or whatever and just roll out and just go.
So, was where, I know you grew up in the Bay Area, that whole area.
Yeah.
Like, these are what area you're talking about. You're that age. Where are you in Northern California?
Yeah, I was living in Concord, and we would go to like Walnut Creek. We would go to Oakland, Richmond. We would go to San Francisco, Berkeley. Fuck, man.
Okay, name, you're what, 18, 17, 18, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's say you're 18 years old. What's a show around then, like that right now people would bug out, like a bill that you saw then that right now people would be like, because I know, because you got to see the Exoduses or whatever, all these kind of classic.
Yeah.
Thrash or whatever combo bands that went through.
Yeah. I would say like Ruthie's Inn, which is like Ruthie's Inn was kind of like the CBs of Thrash. California up here in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Also The Farm was something similar to that as well. I mean, and my first shows ever being there, I was playing. So I was in my first, technically my third band, but my first band that I ever did a record with, Paranoia, was a little skinhead hardcore band, punk band, and we would play with like Attitude Adjustment with like, you know, Chris and
Chris Conto, play with like everybody that don't know from Machine Head. He's Attitude Adjustment. That was also I'm gonna get him on here too. Shout out to Chris Contos. He's gonna be coming on here eventually. That's the connection with also for everybody out there listening. With the one of the connections to the West Coast and Agnostic Front from the old days of, like when I met Chris Contos was at Dynamo 95, Dynamo 95 when Machine Head was playing, because Contos was already boys with AF. So the minute AF we showed up, he was like, yo, like he was so amped. He was like, yo, finally I got people here, you know?
Yeah.
And then I realized off the history that he had playing drums out there too, you know what I mean?
And that's how I met you guys shortly after that.
Yeah. So, all right. So everybody out there, they don't know. We met, Walter ended up filling in for a couple of Machine Head shows. Now, where did I meet? Do you remember where did we meet exactly? I don't remember where. I just remember for some reason, like, you just seemed like we were hanging, you know, like, I don't remember.
Yeah, we were in Europe and we were doing the festivals, like the Wald Rock and all those other festivals, you know, with the big airplane hangar, like,
yeah,
all the way.
Yeah, vaults and all that shit.
Yeah, so we did like four shows together. It was Machine Head, Madball, Propane, and Sick of It All. And yeah, we played one show with Venom, which was crazy.
Yeah, I remember that Venom show, amazing.
Yeah.
You know what? We actually might have been on tour with Crown of Thorns, maybe.
Yes, you were, because I was walking through this fucking dusty-ass fucking old, like, I don't know, grounds or whatever, and I'm kind of looking back to see where the guys are, and I, all of a sudden I was like, whoa, what the fuck? And, like, there's this shopping cart with, like, three dudes on it, and Ezak's pushing it, right? He's like, yo, what's up, nigga? And he's like, shh. I was like, the fuck?
Yeah, like, that shit was the best. So, you know, we're like, yo, Venom's playing. Oh, crazy. You know, back then it was, you know, for all any of us to be playing these festivals, there was like a handful of hardcore bands able to play these festivals. We were like, holy shit. And yeah, I was like, oh, this is some classic shit. I was like, man, my brother's gonna go crazy. I'm watching Venom. Let's go watch him. So I remember being like with Mike DeJean and Demi. Yeah. And I remember we're like waiting behind the stage. And we see this limo pull up, but it's like a 1979 yes, limo. It's like,
I remember that
limo. And then they come out and Cronus or whatever, he's Diesel. I remember he looked like a wrestler.
Yes.
And it was insane. I remember, I was like, wow, this is real. Like,
the one thing that bugged me out about that was when they all stepped out, they were all wearing like, they weren't all wearing black. They were wearing like kind of girly, weird colors.
Yeah, they were like hot pink, like wrestlers.
Yeah.
They were wearing like workout, like Turk, like pastels.
Yeah.
Listen. Yeah. I'll tell you, I want to say, yo, I got to get Demi on here. I want to say I was with Demi, but I have a picture somewhere, unless it got lost. And we're on the side of the stage and we're like, yo, you know, we got to get pictures or whatever. So Cronus, I guess that's the main dude with the black hair's name. I don't know, Cronus, Goathead, whatever these guys' names are. They're hard, but I forget the name. But I remember, like, homeboy's, like, checking his base or whatever. He's, like, looking down. And I go, yo, for the picture. And the minute he looks, he sees the camera. He goes, ah, he makes the metal face and he flexes. And then he goes back to whatever he's doing. I was like,
that was the best. You got that shit. You got that on camera. You got that picture
On camera. That no, there was no cell phone. That was like on a disposable. Like,
I remember those because I was using them with us too. I was like,
and then all right. So let everybody know out there. So, what were you doing before you get the call from Machine to do the fill-in gig?
So I just got out of Possessed and I started playing with Bone Crusher, and then Ernie and I started Doomsday Device together.
Shout out to my brother, Ernie. Rest in peace, Ernie Powerhouse. Rest in peace,
Ernie, man. OBHC brother, man. So he and I were doing that. We had Testament's old guitar player, Derek Ramirez. He was our first guitar player. And
shout
we
out,
had...
Shout out to Testament just because of that.
Yep.
Just because of that.
Most definitely.
Shout out to Testament, OGs.
Oh, yeah, most def. They got Dave Lombardo drumming with him now, too, so.
Shout out to Cuba Lombardo.
Most definitely. But, yeah, so that was that was pretty much what I was doing. And I was working, and I just got the phone call from Gwen. And then I was like, yo, what's up? Is he okay? And then that's all I knew. I knew she's calling me. I'm like, something's got to be wrong, you know. So I had 3 days to learn that record, Burn My Eyes, and I had never heard it before except once when they played with us. And I fucking landed 3 days later. So you flew
into what show did you fly into? Because I know you flew into a big show.
Well, here's the thing. When I did that, I was sitting next to Vinny Stigma on the fucking airplane.
How that happened? He was coming on tour or something?
Yes, that's why I met you guys like 2 days later or some shit.
I forgot.
I didn't even know that was Vinny when I was sitting next to him.
Oh.
And people were all getting agitated because I was like, air drumming on everything. And fucking, he's sitting next to me. So he's like, hey, leave the kid alone. He's trying to learn some drums over here. he's stuck up for me, man. I fucking love him. And that was the craziest shit. Like, I was so like focused on listening to the music, like for like you know, the whole, every day, all day, just to let it sink in. And I was like, and we pulled it off, you know?
Yeah, no, I remember you like killing it. And I remember like, I'm thinking like, yo, that's crazy record to learn, because I remember talking to Kantos about the record and him just talking about how the record was built. And that record was known for the drumming, you know, because it's just fucking insane how it was put together and all that shit, like crazy. Yeah. And fucking, what did you end up doing with them? You did a couple of shows with them, right?
So I did probably like 2 or 3 months of shit with them. And then I started to do, I forgot what I was doing. I had to do something with another band, and then I peaced out. And then they got Dave that plays drums with them, and then that was it. And then I just kept moving on, and then I ended up with you guys.
Yeah, no, I remember you came in. You were with us for a bit, and then we were fucking always, even the band was, it was such crazy. This band probably didn't know we were a band to like 8 albums in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we still, every album was always like, oh, we're going to do another record. The next thing you know, it's 30 years later.
Yeah. But it, yo, I had a blast, man. And it was fucking great because, you know, I mean.
But let me ask you, let's rewind. Why the fuck drums?
You know, I think, see, I've always was, I think I was always going to be a baseball player, to be honest with you. Like, and my old man was a baseball player. He loved baseball, but he was a drummer too.
Oh,
so when I was a little, when I was a little baby, like literally in diapers, like his drumsticks would be laying around. So I would just pick them up and just start hitting like the furniture, you know? And then when he would throw those, remember those little red super balls, the little plastic brown little red super ball, they bounce all crazy. So he would throw that at me when I was a baby, just barely standing. And I would use his drumstick as a baseball bat. And I would hold it backwards, you know, like a bat. And then eventually when I started to get older and I just started to kind of get into music and started to feel like, okay, I'm really into music, you know, more like I kind of pushed baseball aside. And then I asked for a drum set, like around 15-ish. They got me a kit. And then I just naturally just knew what I was doing because I was always air drumming since I was a little boy, you know. And I was like air drumming to like, you know, the Exploited, GBH, Discharge, all right, you know, all right, Slayer.
So before that, it wasn't like you were like, man, I love Lombardo. One day I'm going to do that or whatever.
Oh, well, no. Yeah.
I mean, I know you had, you were a fans of these guys, but I'm saying, so you just started playing drums because of your pops and it was around, or it was never because, you know, you loved the music and then you were like, yo, I want to play drums like so-and-so.
Oh, no, it was definitely like, I want to play drums and I want to fucking hang out with hot chicks.
Yeah,
and I want to fucking.
And even if not so hot, but, you know.
I want to create music. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to create music. I wanted to play shit that I liked, that I learned to like from other, you know, bands that influenced me. And I just like, hopefully I'm, you know, good enough to do whatever. And I never took lessons. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I just bang on shit, you know, like, you know, I just happen to, you know, certain bands I fit in better, you know, like it's just weird, you know?
Oh, all right. So like I was saying before, all right. Yeah. Because again, you came up in a good time then. Mm-hmm. So you're playing, especially it's like the Bay Area thrash. That's mm-hmm. like that was like that. Going back to that question I asked you, you're going, what are some of the bands you're watching every week there? Like, what are some of the, you're going to go on to watch these bands at that local club. Oh. What are some of the bands that people might know of now?
I would go and watch, like, you know, other than Slayer and Exodus and Testament, I would go and watch, like.
Like, at the smaller spot, exactly, like the local spots.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I would go watch, like, Fang, MDC.
Wow. That's what I'm saying.
I would go, like, if the Exploited were in town, I would always see the Exploited. GBH.
Did you ever catch Suicidal up there back then? Did they even
go? Yeah, I watched Suicidal. Yeah. Yo, hell yeah. And then also bands like from like up Portland and Seattle and shit, because I love Poison Idea. And also like The Accused.
Oh, so they Poison Idea, those bands come down a lot?
Yeah, they did back then. It was fucking awesome. I would hang with them, you know?
Now what kind of, what years are that? What, mid-80s, late-80s?
Yeah, it was like late-80s, like 86, 88.
Yeah, from 86, yeah, that, yeah. I started going to shows in my 88, so I was a couple years, like, after you. And fucking, who's hanging out then? Is it mixed? Look, I know the Bay Area always had that shit where punk, hardcore, and thrash mix, but I always felt it was more 60-40, 60 being the thrash, you know, yeah, in that area.
So back in like 83-ish,
uh-huh,
it was, you were more either punk or you were either metal.
Uh-huh.
That's it. There was no crossover yet.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, DRI was out, you know, yeah, what I'm saying? But it didn't click yet. Yeah. Like, because when I used to go to the Stone, which is a really big club, and watch like a punk band, a big old punk show, across the street at the Rock on Broadway was a thrash metal show.
Yeah.
And then after the shows got out, everybody was in the street, there'd be fights.
Yeah.
And you had to fucking pick sides.
Yeah. It's like that. Back in New York, it was the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the same motherfuckers love the same bands, and they wonder why they don't go to each other's shows. It's like,
yeah. Well, yeah, I was happy when DRI came out and SOD and, you know, Suicidal and shit like that, because they were kind of like the crossover guys, and they made it cool for like everybody to like other shit. Because
yeah,
I started to like thrash metal like after I really liked punk.
Yeah.
And it grew on me, and I was like, yo, this shit's got a different energy. It's fucking hard.
You know, for me, it was like what I loved about those bands. For me, it worked crazy because I liked, you know, as a little kid, I was mainly hip hop, but I liked Sabbath, Slayer, Celtic Frost.
Ooh, Celtic Frost, yeah.
Right? So it was like, I liked a handful, but in general, not. And then it went, you know, once I was a hardcore guy, that was it. I was like, I ain't trying to hit shit. But I always loved certain things about metal, but I didn't like the look. It was too much of a costume. Yeah, Even though everybody has a costume, but their costume was too costumey.
I know what you mean.
You know? I was like, even though I liked, you know, I was like, man, but all right, you think, for me, you're like, early on, tough guy look is a leather jacket. Then after that, it becomes military boots, shaved, it goes from long hair leather, fatigue, shaved hair. So I was more that speed just because I was like, I was never into long hair. But I loved metal, but there was things about metal I didn't like. But I always was like, man, these motherfuckers could play. But I was like, but then what I liked was, so I went full blown hardcore. I loved it because I was like, yo, I'm gonna bring metal into it, but you know, I ain't gonna give it props. You know, in my head, I'm doing this. Like, I'm gonna bring it in, and I'm gonna give it in the hardcore shit I do. But, and then later on, I started being like, nah, yo, I love my metal, whatever. But I was glad that, I mean, those bands were already out, but I was glad that those bands were around, because once I was ready to grow up a little and be like, yo, I was able to still be a hardcore kid and be like, yo, I want two guitars. I want full stacks. Yo, I want to sound tight. Yo, I want the production to be big. I want it to be a machine. Because they did it, and I was like, yo, I could do it now. So I was like, thank God.
Yeah. I mean, listen to, dude. Hey, listen to, like, what was the name of that? Fuck. I think it was like three records ago for you guys, right? The production on that record is ridiculous, dude. Right, but listen to that compared to, like, you know, like Ball of Destruction.
Yeah, no,
like
for just sure. It's crazy. It's so different.
But if you guys redid everything off of Ball of Destruction and put it on now and recorded it the way it is now,
ask you this, because there's another thing. You being around, do you remember? So you've recorded on a tape before, like. Right?
Oh, cassette tape? Fuck yeah. Right. Boom, yeah, box, hell yeah.
And reels and all that, right?
Oh, yeah, dude.
How horrible was that? Like, I get it. All you fucking nerds out there with the sound quality, I get it. But how horrible was it take after take? It had to be flawless.
Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, I've been really, I got to say this, y'all. Like, everybody knows, yeah, I've been in a lot of bands, but I've been very blessed that every band I've been in, everybody in the band has been talented and very good at what they do.
Got
so you. Even if we're doing a whole live recording, we could rock it in one or two, maybe three max takes.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
Been very lucky with that, with all the guys that I played with. I played with very good people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great, man. I can't say the same for us. Yeah, our first records, and I was the missing link. I was like the loose link back then. I was like, I had music, but I was mad raw. And I was like, yo, this is going to be a problem, my friend. This
I could sit and listen. I could listen to your guys' records and be like, that's a Hoya riff. Like, because I know you.
You know what it was? I was always good at creating, but back then I had no ear for recording. I wasn't paying attention. I was more creating. Maddie's the one who taught me, yo, this is what you listen for. Listen for this. You should be paying attention to this. If you're putting this in, got my third eye, my buck eye. Yeah. Not that one. He got my buck eye open. Shout out to Maddie, my buck eye. But why I say that, because one, a lot of people now never had the chance to also record onto, do that style of recording where it was onto reel to reel. The only reason I talk about it was because it was such a hard process. Yeah. And for the music that we played, that it's considered, oh, it's little kid punk rock kid music, it's even harder to record because it's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you remember those little four-track machines?
Yes.
We used to do that shit too.
Yes. Oh, hell yeah.
I got fucking a ton of demos back here with that shit, and it still sounds fucking good.
It's a four-track. That shit was advanced. You know, when I wrote Set It Off, I've said it on here, whatever. I literally had my guitar amp next to my television, and I would wait for the hip-hop videos to jam to the videos because I was used the drums for that, and then with a recorder, I would record it.
That's
like,
tight.
You know, you do what you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You know? But what was the, you remember the first time recording something? Was it a demo? It had to be a demo, right?
Yeah, it was a demo. Yeah, it was, I got to say, I was nervous as fuck because I didn't want to mess up. And that really fucked me up. That I was,
and that's
like,
what fucks you up. Oh, yeah.
Yo, the minute you start really thinking about, oh, I got to do this, that's when you fuck up.
It's a wrap. My first sessions, dude, I wasted thousands of dollars because I was like, beefing. I'll be like, fuck you, and you do it. You know, I guess, like, how much perfect? What are you hearing, Maddie? You making shit up. Now you want beef. This is all the shit going on in my head because I'm just being a me head. But I'm like, you know, I was that diamond that was still far from being a diamond, but somewhere down the line.
You were definitely rough.
Yeah, very rough. You had a, but I remember fucking, you know, I was like, it was very hard for me early on. Like, you know, I used to hate going there because I was like, man, I'm the loose link. I'm going to have to keep up on certain, even though I was always a writer. Now, okay, you're writing the songs now. Okay, now we got to, who's going to be the most perfect? Mm-hmm. That's what happens in a recording session. Who's the least perfect is going to stick out. All right, nigga. All right. You're like, all right, how many more times? I mean, you know, and back then, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. It ain't like now you punch in. You do section by section, punch it in, cooling the gang, you're good.
Yeah, I'm when I'm in the studio now, man, I'm like, I'm a fucking machine, bro. Like, you can ask these guys.
You always were tight. I'm, you always, you know, you always figured out, you always played tight. So I could see that. But early on, I know I asked early because I seen the tightest guys or whatever. But the minute you put headphones on, you know, the dynamics become different. Some people ain't meant to record. Some people are killers in the studio and can't play a show live or vice versa.
Yeah. My weakness as far as drumming goes when I'm recording is playing to a click track.
Yeah.
So, and that's funny because like if almost all my buddies that are drummers are like, dude, you're one of them guys that has like a fucking dynamite meter. Like my time is like really on. It feels galore, but still it's like.
Yeah.
I'm on time. When I'm listening to a click track, I'm listening to that thing, and it's almost as if I'm in my own head doing, fucking myself up when I was with the recording before.
Yes.
And that click track is doing it to me. It's fucking me up.
Absolutely.
So I feel like, oh, you're, by me listening to this, I'm taking that percentage away from my perfect 100% of drumming and having that feeling away, because I have to be like, click, you know, with the fills and shit. And I'm like, fuck, am I on time? Am I when you think, right?
I get it. Yeah, it's crazy when you got to think too much. You know what sucks is the thinking and recording, the thinking should come before your recording. You should, meaning you should know your shit, figure out what you're going to do, how you're going to hit it, when you're going to hit it. Now you got to just do it. Yeah. And I go, it's easier said than done. But I said a funny story. It's a Hazen Street story that reminded me, and I was just talking about it the other day. So, everybody knows I blaze and I'm always joking or whatever, but this is a fact that, number one, me?
You?
Yeah. But check this out. So obviously, you know, I love playing and recording blaze or whatever. So during the Hazen Street sessions, I would literally record one song a day. It was so crazy. Like, I'm used to doing every song like in a day.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? This was a bigger budget, whatever. So I go and do one song a day and then just fucking hang out and get lit and hang out and whatever. Chill out with Mackie, talk shit on Toby all day or whatever. So long story short, I would do another song. One day I come and I didn't have no weed. My weed guy didn't come through. Now this is California then. Yeah. Now you could go down the block and buy it. Back then it wasn't then, and it wasn't even that long ago. This is Hazen Street era.
Yeah.
Long story short, the guy wasn't going to come till later. Anyway, whatever. Now, the guy tracking us, I think his name was Mike. I forgot his last name. He tracked Bon Jovi. Like, he tracked big dogs. Like, this guy is big, big dog. So I sit down, and I go through my tracks the last couple of days. Now, there's one day I come through. So he goes, all right, let's do some bass oil. All right, let's go. So let's do this track. He hits record, go. So I start the track. I'm literally like 10 seconds in. He stops it. I'm kind of like, it's kind of weird. He never did that. And he goes, do it again. And I go, oh, he must have fucked up. All right. He puts the track on. Now it goes like a couple seconds, even less. He stops it. And he looks at me. He goes, did you smoke today? And I said, nah. He goes, all right, yo, let's scrap it. Let's do guitars right now. He goes, Hoya, go chill out. And I was like, what happened? He goes, yo, every song you did, you had a good pocket. Now you're playing over the beat. I don't want it. He goes, wait till you get your weed and come back. I was like, scientific fact.
That
the flavor is in Mother Nature.
Bro, but that's it. That shit's in your DNA. You've been doing it so long.
But my point being was, again, being relaxed, not thinking about it. Yeah. It comes out in the performance.
Most definitely. You know? I mean, that happened to me on the Powerhouse recording.
Yeah.
So we went in there the first time and I went off. Uh-huh. Best tracks of my life. And then about fucking not even a month later, we got news that his shit crashed and lost all of our fucking music.
I heard about that.
Yo, I was like, fuck, I was like, how am I supposed to play like that again? Never. I'm never going to play like that again. Fuck, that was amazing. Like, listen, I never gassed myself up, but I was stoked on my playing for that record, for that fucking time that we recorded it, and it was gone. I was like, fuck, what are we going to do? Well, let's try to recreate that day. So let's get a bunch of people over here and fucking let's barbecue. I sit down, I start playing 2 seconds. I'm like, I don't have it today. They're like, what? And I'm all, I don't have it. They're like, come on, let's just try it. Fucking play it. Come on. Play a song, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I suck. I'm not doing good. I know me. They're like, nah, you're tripping, man. You're just thinking about it too hard. And I'm like, no, I know myself. I know when I'm doing good and I know when I'm not doing good. I suck right now. I'm not fucking doing it. So they're like, just one more time. I was like, all right, bet. Play through the song. I'm all, go ahead and listen to it. Go ahead. We listen to it. They're like, nah. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. I don't fucking have it today. I'm like, I'm going to go home. I'm going to fucking sleep, and I'm going to come in tomorrow. I'm going to kill it. And they're like, all right, bet. Because I was at work all day in the morning, you know? So that's what happened. I went home. I slept. I ate good breakfast. I got up. I went to fucking over there. Boom. I ripped through the whole shit. Rah, done. Killed it.
Good. And that was that's the Powerhouse shit that you guys just put out, right? The last thing.
Yeah.
How many songs is everything? I know Eddie had sent it to me.
Oh, good.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to put it on this.
Yeah, there's six.
Maybe you resend it to me. I got it. Oh, Eddie sent it. Because Eddie sent it to me, but I didn't, it caught me off guard where I didn't know he meant I could play it or play a song. I didn't want to do the wrong thing. I was like, oh, shit. But yeah. I'll get it. Maybe we'll see. We throw it at the end of this podcast. So we throw a track on. But how many songs in the whole, and what's the whole shit? Because
there's six songs total. We got two released as singles already. And we have a lot of new music left still that we have, that we could just literally write another record for.
Yeah.
We have this at Powerhouse OBHC link tree. It has everything that you could ever want to know about Powerhouse, the shows, podcasts, the songs that have been released, when the record's coming out, the whole shit.
What's the link tree again?
It's at Powerhouse OBHC, which is all one, and it's at the link tree.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, so we'll talk about this. It was good. Well, first of all, it was good to see you. Even though I got to see all you motherfuckers, it felt like seconds because it so fast.
Yeah, it was too short.
It was good to play. It was good to see you guys play. It was good to see H2O play, you know?
Yeah.
It was good to play with Hazen Street, which I haven't done in a while. Besides, like, I wish I could watch it. Not because to be like, oh, how good. It was just like, I was happy to be playing with Dave. I was happy to be playing with Mackie, with Toby, and seeing Rusty. Oh, you're there. You know, Chris Powerhouse is in the back. I'm like, man, why can't this shit be every day?
It was all of us were talking about it in Powerhouse, like how amazing it was to, first of all, just to play shows with you guys, see you guys, and just everybody connect and talk and seeing people that you haven't seen even longer, like Fred and Beto.
Yeah,
you know, that was amazing seeing them. And then, like, I ran into a lot of old heads I haven't seen for like 20 plus years as well that were there. Seeing Steven again, you know, your merch guy. I love Steve.
Yeah.
And, you know, just everybody. And see, you know, I haven't seen Max since he was like fucking 3 or 4 years old.
It's crazy. And now he's seen drumming. A while, but it feels like I've seen you for some reason. I don't know, maybe because we see Instagram. I feel like, oh, I've seen him. Yeah. So even though I forget, it's been a while since some of us seen each other.
Yeah. Because like you and me seen each other in Florida like about maybe almost 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, okay. It was that. Yeah. And then it's like, and it's funny that happened recently. I'm like, oh yeah, I just saw you. And they're like, no, that was a year ago. Or like two. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
It's like we lost a year.
Oh yeah. One
year we woke up a year ago and then now.
Yeah. But I really had a great time. It was really cool to see Maddie and H2O too.
Oh, man, of course. You see, I forget, man. Same thing. I love seeing, man. You know, I had a beef with this weekend that shit was too fast. Like, you know, as much as I got a family and all that, it was too fast. Like, because you can't put this many people that, you know, it's not fair.
Yeah. Like, you don't have enough time.
You put me on a... Yo, I had to do a Hazen Street Warped Tour one time with fucking 98 whack bands one time. You know, like, and I got, you know, now I'm on a tour with everybody I got love for. I want to talk shit. And we got 1.5 shows.
Yeah.
And literally after the last show, you saw, we got off stage 5 minutes. Off stage, we had to head from Rhode Island to New Jersey. And we made it in time to check in for our flight.
Like, yeah, literally. We had to do the same. We had to drive all the way back to Jersey, but in the morning. It was brutal.
It was too short. I'm hoping that, you know, we do this fucking West Coast run and we could do the same shit, get the same people and make it a little longer and be a little bit more fucking.
Yeah.
Whatever the
word. Just some more time to shit, like to catch up with each other, you know?
Yeah, listen, we had two rooms across from each other and I still talk to certain people for like 5 seconds. 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So crazy, but it was good to, I was happy to, when obviously I haven't played a little bit in the last couple of shows, but I was psyched to play with the Hazen Street just to be like, I love playing with Toby, Dave Kennedy, Mackie. It's like, to me, it's like a Salvador Dali picture. It don't make sense.
Yeah, it was dope because, you know, actually it was pretty cool. I mean, Mackie and myself, we actually talked for like, hours, like both nights. Really cool shit, like just about everything, not just drum shit, but you know, we both have mad love and respect for each other musically and, you know, person wise whatever you want to call it, but you know, I fucking love that dude. But yeah, like
my brother. And
it's
you
cool
never
to pick
know.
his head, you know.
And you never know. He might just pop up on the Smoke and Word podcast.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
that's
didn't
hear
it
cool.
from me.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you never know.
That'd
but,
be tight.
but no, the OG.
Most definitely.
Like I get happy. First of all, I was hitting Mackie the other day. I talk shit. I text him when I just want to hit. I text him with the craziest. Yo, you got to pick two drummers, and I throw him two drummers. Yo, I did some shit. You got to pick country drummer or this. You had, you know, all this wild shit. Sometimes I get an answer. Sometimes I get to see what's in that box, the Pulp Fiction box. That
yeah,
I,
yeah.
Right. Sometimes it gives me a gem. But what I got to love that I'm glad we got to do one of the 2 days was we got to set them up the OG Stilo sideways. That's my shit.
Yeah.
Some people don't know about that.
Oh, sideways. So back. That's the first time I met him when I was working at the Stone in San Francisco, that really cool spot. He came through with Bad Brains, and literally there was like maybe 20 or 30 people at that show. That's it. I was blown away that this place wasn't sold the fuck out.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And like, I'm standing in front of the stage and he's on the stage. I'm right in front of him, but he's sideways pointed that way, looking away from everyone. and me and him are just having a conversation through the whole set. And me, he's sitting there playing and chopping it up with me like, yeah, what's up, bro? We can talk about this and that. And I go, yo, my man, why are you fucking facing over there?
Yeah,
like, I don't want to look at this guy no more.
Yeah, he always just say that to me. He goes, so I can see him. I don't want to see it. No, that's some Earth, Wind, and Fire shit. You know, that's where that shit comes. But yeah. We seen it from back in the days when we were little kids. So the minute we came in to Hazen, we said, I remember we were like, yo, you know you're going to set up sideways. He said, like, you want me to set up? We're like, nigga, that ain't even a question. You're setting up sideways. I love that. I was like, put him sideways and it'd be, he's always facing me. Oh, yeah. I just be laughing, but I love it. To me, I was like, even being in the band, I'm a fan of being in the band when he's playing. Like,
yeah, most definitely. Him. That was what was cool about him too. Like the way he set up like that, if you're a drummer and you're chilling where I was chilling, you could just watch how he's really playing. You can see everything.
And he's a guy you watch. Like,
yeah.
Because you could
turn such a different
volume off. Turn
he's
the
got
volume off.
Swag, dude. Yeah, you could turn him. You could turn the sound down.
Yeah.
And watch how he's playing, and you know what he's doing.
Exactly. You could put a sword in his hand, turn the volume off, and it looks like he's doing wushu. Like, you know what I mean? It literally looks like, you know, everything is so smooth and exact. You know, whatever he's doing, you're like, oh, he's doing that shit dope.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Like, it's a special thing, I'm glad I get to play with him, and I was glad to but like just in that band also, because it's so different for us, and it's fun, and we don't get to do it a lot, and I was glad again to do it with you guys, to do it with Mab or do it with H2O. It's like,
yeah,
you know, it's
that was a really cool lineup, and we were all, you know, everybody in our band was very you know, honored and stoked and happy to fucking do it, and we got love for all you guys and all those bands and, you know, all of our crew and our fellows and our brothers that came out and everything. Like, man, it was I needed that.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I did too. That. It was just enough for me, but I'm like, I needed more too, but I'm glad I got that because it was a little bit of like an express version of what, you know, of I wanted it all. It wasn't all, but it was like, oh, I got a good, you know, good little nice, you know, Air Force Ones, you know.
Yeah.
I don't got the Air Jordans, but I got a crisp brand new pair of Air Force Ones this weekend.
Yeah, baby. You know,
and what happened? So what's the deal? What's anything booked for you guys now? What's now?
Yeah, we have a couple of shows coming up out here locally that we're playing with some other pretty cool bands that are like up and coming around here. So we're going to do on the 27th, we're playing in, I believe, Sacramento. And then the 28th of this month, we're playing in San Jose. So that'll be dope. We're also going to try to get back in the studio and start writing some of these new songs pretty soon too.
Yeah. And then what's up? You working and all that shit?
Oh yeah. I've been working and just staying busy. I got my own crib. I've lived by myself. Got my own one, but I'm chilling, bro. It's awesome.
Bachelor pad.
Yup. It's dope.
The motion of the ocean.
You know,
You know what I mean? That's good. And what's the weather like over there now? It's cold, hot. What's the deal?
Fucking gorgeous, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's like 70s, 80s, 60s, like between that,
Yeah.
like perfect weather, you know?
As of that area up there, always had the best weather. I always thought.
I live in Oakland too, like right by Lake Merritt, which is a really nice spot. And so, like,
Wow.
people are jogging around the lake, working.
Oh,
There's
that's
they set
dope.
up booths, they got food, jewelry, clothing, music. It's fucking dope.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope. So next, so you guys are you gonna rehearse soon or like one of these days? Are you guys
Oh
like
yeah,
jamming like that and all that?
we're gonna start rehearsing again on Monday. So
Oh, real good. You gotta
we
tell
went.
everybody I said what's up.
Oh yeah, that most definitely, man. I told him I was gonna talk to you yesterday. I told him I was gonna be chatting with you.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was on here, but I just figured like, oh, whatever. He's gonna chat about something. But then I told them, I was gonna be rocking with you.
Yeah,
So they
because you
were.
know what? I was like, I got some shit lined up, and then we were like, yo, I wanted to recap the weekend. And then I was like, also, I was like, man, I just literally had a couple of them on, you know? And I was like, and then they were like, yo, what? I was like, oh shit. I'm like, going, who was in there? Like, I always tend to think the singers. I'm like, all right, Toby,
Yeah.
I'm not gonna talk to Freddie. Yeah, I just seen him. I go, who else we had? No, but who else we had? I was like, whatever. I was like, oh, Walter, I have to see. I was like, be good to get Walter and fucking Mackie won't talk, so at least I get one of the drummers.
Fuck your back.
But you never know, Mackie might be coming. That's for Patreon. You're gonna have to pay for that one.
Yeah, oh, that's yeah. That's like,
No,
yeah,
but
that's a
shout out to my
pay-per-view.
Patreon family also out there. Listen, big shout out to everybody who's been holding me down in this podcast shit because we're making a lot of power moves and we're gaining momentum, and a lot of people been tuning in from all over the world. So I'm glad because we nobody makes money off this shit, but we get to, you know, people who've been supporting the show, we get to go in more. That's why I've been dropping videos and stuff. We get to do stuff like that, put more time and do the vid because I want to do that. Because you know what, Walter, we love metal. We talk about it all the time. The metal guys got their metal guy awards. They got their rock and roll hall of fames.
Yeah.
I go, the hardcore and the punk rock world, we need our world too. We got to be up there. We got to have that,
Definitely.
those shows, those award shows. We got to have those variety show, whatever you want to call it, for
Hardcore
people
Hall of
in our
Fame, bro.
world. Yeah, like you know, people forget that this ain't just. I want to get over that whole stigma that this hardcore punk rock shit is just some little kid shit. Because stigma's living proof.
Yeah.
He's writing the book every day on how far you could take this shit.
Speaking of stigma, I was driving down to LA, and you remember that spot where it's like all cows for like fucking 5 miles on the
Yeah.
side of the street and it just stinks?
Yeah.
Well, I was rolling through there, and I remember when we were on tour, he was like, oh shit, the Dynamo of Cows.
Yes.
Right? So I took a video of it and I sent it to him, and I went, Dynamo of Cows. And he texted me back. I gotta read this to you. Hold on. It's mad funny. He texted me back and he goes, he puts a little laugh like emoji and he goes, stay safe. And that's no bullshit.
And that's no bullshit.
The Dynamo of
Listen,
Cows, bro.
well, what better way to end than that? But listen, I'm glad I got to catch you on this. I wanted to catch up, do a recap of this week. I was good to see you, get you on here. And I want to, you know, like again, my microphones blew out, but I was like, fuck that. Let's get one in. And I'm glad I was able to catch up with you and also to catch up on the weekend and for Powwows, just dropping the new music.
Yeah.
Let everybody know again one more
Yeah.
time what's out, where to get it, and all that good shit.
Yeah, Renegades is the new record for Powerhouse. You can go through like Cortex, you can go through Pitchfork, you can go through Upstate Records, and you can also hit up like our link on IG, Powerhouse OBHC. And if you click on the link that's in our bio, it'll take you to that link tree and it'll give you all the information. It'll have like songs, shows, release date of the new record. We got a pre you can pre-order the record too. That's on vinyl, it's on Oxblood vinyl. Like it's only gonna
No.
be like a limited amount. This shit is pretty dope. And it tells you also where we're playing next month.
Yeah. No,
We
that's dope. And
all
you got your Instagram too, right?
Yep, Monster One DMS. I just wanted to say, like, you know, that all of us appreciate everybody, you know, giving us shout outs and hooking us up with shows and, you know, giving us love and whatnot. You know, it's been the best thing to probably happen to all five of us.
Yeah.
Being together and having Casey replace Ernie, which is
perfect. Yeah. Yeah. If like, they had it, I know.
You know, but like Casey's the perfect fucking guy. Me and him are like,
exactly.
He's a maniac. He's just like us. It's fucking beautiful. I love the motherfucker. He's a great
family. He's family.
And then,
I'm glad. I'm psyched that you guys are playing again. I'm glad you're playing more, not just like now. I'm glad, like, no, we got some shows. We're planning to do this. So it's like, to me, it gives me the idea that we might be doing more. Because I know there's no way that we would play Cali and not play with you guys if you guys were playing.
Yeah, most definitely.
You know, so to me, knowing that you guys are playing, it's like, okay, this shit might happen again. You know, something's going to happen again. Yeah. So I'm hoping. But I'm glad we were able to make this happen, you know, to catch you, because I know you just got out of work and all that good shit. So
Yeah, for sure.
Go clean that ass. Go fucking do what you got to do. But we're going to drop this shit tomorrow. That's what we're playing, no games.
Go ahead. One thing. I got to give a shout out to all my Mexican homies out there, yo.
Oh, ándale, ándale, Cinco de Mayo. De la Sierra Morena, cielito lindo de corazones. Ándale, ándale, ándale. Yo, shout out to my Mexicanos and Mexicanas.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yo, fuck you, ISIS. Yo, but listen, Walt. One love, you know, I love you, man. Yo,
yeah, most
all
definitely.
The fellas, I love that. I miss you. I'm glad. Powerhouse. Check out Walter. Yeah. Check out Powerhouse. Coming to a town near you. They're going to be playing North Cal. I love you, yo. One love, and we out of here.
Peace, brother. Talk. Love you, man.
We got one.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from the Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11. Oh.